Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the moment of the evening every K-State fan enjoys. Settle down and pour a whiskey, crack open a LaCroix. Please put your hands together and make a little noise for your favorite Wildcatters, the handsome Bosco boys.
Ooh, Bosco's boys.
Come on, boys.
Boom, the boys are back, and it is time for another episode. Should be a fun one today. Full disclosure, recording this just after the noon hour on Sunday the 14th. Hopefully, we get some good basketball news before you guys listen to this. But, hey, you know, it's college athletics. There's possibility for everything being outdated at any point. So just recording this when I am, hoping there's some good news. And again, as I've said a couple times, once we get a few more basketball portal commitments, we'll get maybe we'll get Jimmy on, maybe we'll get someone else on to talk about those portal commitments and what it could mean for next year's basketball season. Today we will talk about the portal. We'll open up. Spring football ended. I'll talk about some of the stuff that I've heard coming out of spring football, whether it's from people around the program, whether it's the media availabilities that there have been. We'll talk about men's basketball pulling, and we'll end talking about Aoka Lee announcing that she's going to be coming back. I think that was announced on Monday. This past Monday, so we'll chat about that as well. Also, if you're listening to this, of course, Manhattan Brewing Company, a great sponsor of this show, go back to the 1012 Network on their YouTube page. You will see a wings and combination video similar to our beers and Pop-Tart pairing back in December. So the guys from Manhattan Brewing Company, my good friend Philip Slavin and myself, we are pairing together five great beers and five different wing flavors from Buffalo Wild Wings. So be sure to check that out on the 1012 Network YouTube page. I'm sure we'll retweet it. You can go back to the Bosco's Boys Twitter account and go back and watch. Obviously, you can't watch live because it would have already happened by the time you're listening to this. So it should be a fun one. As always, all sorts of great beers with Manhattan Brewing Company. Doesn't matter what you're pairing it with or the occasion, Manhattan Brewing Company is the spot for everything. Absolutely love those guys. They got Wing Wars going on in July. They always have fun events going on all year long. And then before you know it, I mean, what, we're about 4.5 months away from college football week one, and you'll have to be getting your tailgating beers. So that'll be fun to daydream about. So shout out to Manhattan Brewing Company. Shout out to 1012 Network. Two great partners helping me have a lot of fun while doing this podcast. All right, spring football is over. So Saturday was the final practice, obviously. No open to the public practices. But it sounds like there was a lot of recruiting. Chris Kleiman talked about how they were having about 30 kids every weekend for practices, between 5 to 7 guys for all their practices during the week. And they really are going after higher quality guys. They really are stepping up their recruiting. And he actually gave Curry Sexton and Wildcat NIL a shout out by name in his final press conference. And look, I'm not going to come on here and talk about NIL. I mean, at some point, maybe we'll get Jesse Ertz or Curry Sexton on the show to talk about it. If that's something you guys want, let me know if that's something you guys want on here. I do donate at a monthly level. It is a weird thing. Look, anyone who's going to complain about NIL, I hear you. I understand. As K-State fans, you're donating a ton of money just for seats, all that type of stuff, and then now you're being asked to help pay for players as is. Again, I'm not going to tell anyone what to do with their money, but I think you do have to give a lot of credit to Curry Sexton. I think you have to give a lot of credit to Jesse Ertz and the entire team over at Wildcat NIL, who are finding those donors, big and small, to allow the coaches to be as competitive as possible. So Curry Sexton got a big shout out there. Clint Brown, who changed his role, so he was an analyst. He's now moved into sort of that director of player personnel role. Different coaches, different staffs, call it different things, but really what it is he's managing the NIL budget. He's managing the roster. He has an idea of, okay, this is how much money we have in the budget. This is how much guys are going for in the portal. Here's how we should allocate it and try it all out. Chris Kleiman was very frank back in December and January, and then again this spring, talking about how he needed stuff to come off his plate, and Clint's new role really was a big part of that. So I want to give Clint a lot of credit. I want to give Chris Kleiman a lot of credit, knowing what he needed, saying, hey, we need to switch up the staff. And seemingly that has led to a lot of great things. Before I talk about, you know, some of the standouts that whether it's from folks around the program or from different press availabilities, I'm sensing a lot of excitement and a lot of confidence coming out of spring. And again, I don't think any program is going to portray anything but confidence in the spring. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Parker Fleming, aka Stats of War on Twitter, he really preaches, hey, do not get over your skis just because you see or hear something in the spring. And that's fair. But I do sense this level of excitement coming out of K-State. And it's not just coming from K-State. It's the national folks, too. You're hearing folks talk about K-State as a contender for the Big 12. You're seeing folks like Josh Pate and other national writers, national podcasters coming into Manhattan this spring because they want to talk to Chris Kleiman, because they want to get a glimpse of Avery Johnson. They want to see some of the stuff that is going on in the program. And again, Saturday, Ohio State's spring game is on Big Boy Fox, on Fox National Television, and Will Howard going out there. I think there is so much intrigue and so much excitement, and so many people are trying to get, you know, a first glimpse of Avery Johnson, the guy who, you know, replaced Will Howard, the guy who at times was in front of Will Howard last year. And everyone wants to see, okay, if K-State is casting off this guy who is now the presumptive starter for Ohio State, you know, the favorite in the Big Ten, one of the national title favorites. If they're getting a guy who couldn't start at K-State, how good could this young guy get? And that's part of the national intrigue surrounding K-State football right now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, let's talk about some of the guys that have been standouts. Now, there are some folks who usually you'd think you'd be hearing from. It sounds like Jace Brown and DJ Giddens on the offensive side of the ball being held out, precautionary stuff. K-State and Chris Klieman as a whole is very precautionary when it comes to spring practice. If you're recovering from an injury, if you have any, you know, the slightest little, you know, nick or knack, you're not going to do a lot in spring ball. And I'm fine with that for the most part. I'm fine with that. And also, you know, knock on wood, it sure sounds like no major injuries occurred in spring ball. I don't think there's many teams in the country who can get through spring ball without having any sort of injury that will affect them getting into the season. Now, we'll talk about it maybe here in a little bit. There's still plenty of guys who are trying to get back from stuff that occurred last year, late last year, that could mean it takes them a little bit into the season, a little bit into September to get up to full strength, full speed. But I'm overall very pleased when you talk about injuries or any sort of new stuff that popped up in spring. The number one guy who I hear about, it's brought up in almost every press, you know, any open practice, everyone with a video camera is following the guy around, and that's Avery Johnson. Whether it's what, Kat, go check out their YouTube pages, because they always have the press availability videos up on their YouTube pages. But anytime any of them talk, it is how great Avery's doing. And look, of course, you're going to talk them up. And I think when it comes to the quarterback, I think Chris Klieman has always been hyperbolic on the positive side with his quarterback. But folks, I'm here to tell you, based on people I'm talking to, and it's not on mic, it's not on camera, everyone I talk to continues to say that this guy is the real deal. And when you see some of the throws that he's making in practice, when you see some of the highlights that do get out there, whether it's, you know, Jace Brown putting something on his Instagram story, whether it's, you know, Glenn Kenley from 27 News putting something out on Twitter, the accuracy, the level of balance, the arm strength, the consistency with his throws, Avery Johnson, when you're talking about arm talent, truly is the best one I think we've seen since Josh Freeman. I truly believe that, and we all know how electric he can be when running the ball. I do think, and I've said this a couple times, I've said this on the show, and I will bet you guys all $5 that I'm saying it again in September, I think that we are going to see Avery Johnson used very much so like a pro-style type of quarterback. I think you'll see 2 to 3 design runs a game on average throughout the season, maybe upwards of 4 a game. Matt Wells straight up said, hey, look, we're not going to use him like Colin Klein was used in college. You know, that's not what we're trying to do. It wasn't a shot at Colin Klein. It wasn't a shot at Bill Snyder. He just said, hey, that's just not what we're going to do with Avery. And I think it's going to look a lot like Patrick. Oh, he's getting big plays with his legs, but that's usually in a scramble situation. And he's always looking downfield, trying to find the big play with his arm before he takes off. And before you know it, he's picking up 35 yards to get yourself in a game-winning you know, field goal situation. I truly think that we are going to see that from Avery Johnson. And they talk about teaching him, hey, when you run, you got to get down. You have to know, okay, is this a third or fourth down? Okay, sacrifice your body to try to get that first down. Or, hey, do we need a touchdown? Okay, put your shoulder down and go score the touchdown. But I think they are going to be so cautious with him when it comes to running the ball because they don't want to get him hurt. And I think that's what Avery wants for his future. I think we're going to be sitting back and telling ourselves a few times, hey, I wish he would take off and run maybe a little bit. Maybe that's something that I'm almost predetermining. I'm setting myself up for that thought before we've even seen a game this season. But I think that could be something we hear. But all in all, I'm hearing Avery is living up to all expectations, which is wild. Because the expectations on Avery Johnson are out of this world, and it sounds like he's living up to them so far. Hearing good things about Garrett Oakley, again, I think that tight end, and I think we heard Connor Riley say it, we heard Matt Wells say it. I'm sure Brian Lepak would say it as well. Not just Garrett Oakley, but I think we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets. And I can't remember. I believe it was Matt Wells or maybe it was Connor Riley. One of those two said that, you know, the number two tight end is not battling with the number one tight end for snaps, just the number one tight end. He's also battling with the number two running back, the number three wide receiver. And I think that you have enough talent in the tight end room that you can play two tight ends instead of a third wide receiver or a second running back and put yourself in a situation where you're able to give multiple looks and really expose different points of the defense and not allow them to ever get comfortable. You're only going to be able to do that if you do have a true threat. And I think Garrett Oakley is that threat. I think Will Swanson, who is back for his final, I believe it's his final year. I don't know. But he is proven himself that he is capable enough that he's going to be able to play tight, allow Garrett Oakley to get into the slot, be out wide, be used in a similar fashion that we saw Ben Sennett. I don't think you're going to see Oakley in the backfield a ton, but hey, I think he's going to be capable of doing it. And that's what gets me excited. Hearing this praise for Oakley, who's going into his redshirt sophomore season, I said it during the season. I don't know if he will have the production that Ben Sennett will have, but his athleticism, his body, and everything that, you know, you're cooking up in your NCAA create a player, when you compare him to Ben Sennett, he's better in just about any way. Now, can he take that athletic ability? Can he take that body? Can he work and be consistent at the level that Ben Sennett was? If he does, if he does everything that Ben Sennett did off the field, if he can get a master of the offense, understanding the playbook inside and out like Ben Sennett did, this kid will shock folks, and he could be a first-round draft pick. That is how high the ceiling is on Garrett Oakley. And guess what? There's a bunch of redshirt freshmen in that room as well. Metzger, Ancio, all sorts of guys that could make be that type of player. And then, oh, by the way, there's this kid out in Goodland, Kansas, Lincoln Cure, who is a borderline five-star that K-State hopefully is going to be able to close on sometime between now and July. And I think that we are setting ourselves up to have a stable of current, when you look at what Ben Sennett going to be a second or third round draft pick, and then future NFL draft picks stepping into that room at K-State. I think we're about to have a great run of tight ends.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Last two guys on offense that I've been hearing good things about, and it's the two big transfers on the offensive line, Easton Kilty and Dante Cephas, both sound like they're setting themselves up to be starting in the starting lineup. Kilty, look, I think this is almost a little bit of Cooper Beebe syndrome with him. I think he probably works best inside. But I think he's going to be slated as a left tackle. We'll talk about, maybe some spots that they could be going after in the portal. I think if they were to find someone who is a Big 12 level starting left tackle, I think they would love to bump him inside. But I don't know if they're going to find that. That is something tough to find. And he was one of the best offensive linemen in the winter portal. So I don't know if K-State's going to be able to find gold twice. But Easton Kilty's going to be an NFL draft. Again, not a Cooper Beebe, not a second-round draft pick. And we'll talk more about this probably next week before the NFL draft. I don't think Cooper Beebe is going to be a first-round draft pick. It seems like most of the buzz is centering around him being a second or third rounder, similar to Ben Sennett. So I don't think we're going to see that first-round pick for Cooper Beebe. But Easton Kilty, I think, is going to be an NFL draft pick. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be all Big 12 this upcoming season. And I think that, again, offensive linemen don't get these awards, but he's someone who probably will be one of the most impactful incoming transfers in the entire conference. And then Dante Cephas, look, I heard during one of the scrimmages, now Jace Brown was out at this point. Jace Brown sat out, I think, the back half, really, of spring ball. But I heard from someone who went to the scrimmages that Cephas was the best wide receiver that K-State had. And again, I've heard good things about Keegan Johnson. And we actually saw a few games. You know, the Texas game, he had a good game. And, you know, he had a decent bowl game as well. So it's not like he never showed us anything. But I'm not going to buy into the Keegan Johnson hype. I'm not going to let myself believe, oh, he's the real deal until I see it. Maybe I'm setting myself up for the same thing with Dante Cephas, but you know, he's back with his wide receiver coach, Matthew Middleton, where he had massive seasons at Kent State. Obviously, he was at Penn State last year, but he had an absolute bum of a quarterback and a bum of an offensive coordinator. So I'm not going to hold that against him, but there's a lot of excitement for both of those transfers. Flipping over to the defensive side, really it's the safeties and the defensive ends where I've heard the most positive stuff. Jordan Riley, the transfer, I believe out of Ball State. Look, I'm not saying this to try to run down Kobe Savage. I'm not actively rooting against Kobe Savage. But in this world of mercenary football, and when you come demanding an NIL number and then say, hey, I'm going to dip if I don't get it, that's fine, because this staff has the ability to find, identify, and develop talent, especially at the safety spot. So Kobe thinking that he's irreplaceable is laughable. I think Jordan Riley is going to more than replace what we saw from Kobe Savage last year. Hearing a lot of great things from him. Hearing a lot of great things about Marquis Siegel. Again, I think it's easy to joke about in the offseason, in the spring. But if that guy even grabbed half the interceptions that hit him in the hand, he would have been an All-American. And I think he's going to set himself up to be an NFL draft pick at some point. I don't know if this upcoming year is his super senior season or if he'll still have one more left. I'm not 100% sure. But whenever his time in college is done, I think he's going to set himself up for a big year. So I love both those safeties. It sounds like VJ Payne was, you know, in and out of spring practice. It sounds like Colby McAllister was taking some of those reps. It sounds like there's a lot of young guys, including my guy Wesley Fair, who had a good spring as well. But hearing great things about Riley and Siegel. And then two young defensive ends, Chidi Obiezor and Jordan Allen. Hearing great things from both of those guys. Hearing great things about all the young defensive ends. And again, you had some defensive ends come back. You picked one up in the portal as well. Chris Kleiman's openly saying they're trying to find ways to get more of these defensive ends on the field at the same time. So if any of them want to get on, you know, the sumo wrestler diet and kick in inside to help out Uso as you know, a second defensive tackle, a third defensive tackle, I'm sure that would be welcomed. But hearing great things about those two, I think Chidi ended up burning it. I don't know, but two young guys, two 19-year-olds causing absolute havoc on the outside, this spring. So shout out to Jordan Allen and Chidi Obiezor. The transfer portal, the spring portal opens this week. I think it's April 19th. It might actually be the 15th or 16th. I'm not sure, but it's happening this week. Chris Kleiman talked about, you know, especially on the NIL side, they want to make sure that they're able to keep the guys home. It didn't sound like, hey, we're trying to build this NIL war chest to go out there and make splashes, yada, yada, yada. We'll talk about what I'm hearing from folks connected to the program. And we'll talk about that here in a second, but it seems like he wants to be set up that none of the guys leave. Now, that's a tall order. And if you're making sure that, hey, no one that you forecast to be on your two deep this year or next year leave, then that would be massive. If some of the older guys who look like they might not crack the depth chart, hey, it is what it is. But if they're able to keep things relatively tight, especially guys they predict to contribute this year, next year, that's going to be massive. So it's going to be a nervy week, I'm sure, all across college football. And I hope they can keep everyone around. I really do. What I've heard, and again, this is stuff that's been told to me from folks connected to K-State football. This isn't stuff behind any paywalls or anything like that. I do know K-State Online, and I'm sure Go Powercat as well. They're going to be covering the transfer portal. Like they cover everything. You know, again, we have some great websites dedicated to covering K-State. Again, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an insider, have anywhere near the knowledge that they have, but this is stuff that's been told from me from folks somewhere around K-State. It sounds like linebacker, defensive tackle are places they really need to hit. Again, you only really have Uso with a lot of experience at defensive tackle. Now, Damien Alalio, he played some last year. You know, he was part of, you know, the big goal line stop versus TCU. He's coming into his own. But I think you need to grab at least one defensive tackle that is capable of playing at the Big 12. I think that is massive because it sounds like, you know, Jordan Banks, while he has the ability to get inside, he just is not able to build and keep the weight needed for him to be playing nose tackle. So you really need to find someone there. Linebacker, when you have Clifton, Asa Newsome, and all the injuries that you had there, I think you probably are looking to find one more experienced linebacker to help fill in there. It sounds like, you know, there are a couple other guys banged up, missing some practices because linebacker and defensive tackle are part of the reason they weren't able to do as much double rep stuff as they usually do in the spring. So I think linebacker has to be that second priority. And now the other three, these are not what I would do. You know, I as long as you're not losing stuff, you have to replace everything you lose, whether it's projects, whether it's guys you think are going to be on the two deep, whether it's developmental pieces. You have to replace everything that you lose. But it sounds like, you know, they're going to be in the market possibly for a backup running back, a backup quarterback. And like I said earlier, if they could find a tackle so they could kick Kittley inside, they would go that route. Look, I think that Rice, I think Joe Jackson, then you have Price coming in after he's done with his senior track year. He'll be coming in the summer. I would much prefer, and then you throw LeJames White in there as well. I would much prefer you just have a four-way competition for running back two than grabbing another running back in the portal. Obviously, DJ, you know, he has a statement. He took a lot of carries last year, a lot of touches last year. But if they disagree, if there's one that you're able to get and keep all your young running backs still happy, go ahead. Offensive line, again, like I said, I think if they can find a tackle and they could kick Kittley inside, I think that would be an ideal situation for them. We'll see if they can do it. And then quarterback, I think the staff, and I agree with them, I think everyone around K-State football believes this could be a Big 12 championship caliber team. And then again, with the new playoff stuff, a playoff team, again, you guys know my thoughts about it. Don't really care. Let's win the Big 12. That's all I'm focused on as a fan. We'll see if you can get a quarterback who has played Division I football to come in behind a guy who's going to be here 2 years before he's in the NFL. I think that is a tough get. I think that is an extremely, extremely tough get. I would be shocked if they could find anyone. But again, it's a brand new world of automatic free agency in college sports. So if they can find a backup quarterback, I'm sure that's something they would take. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out. Again, actual targets, I don't have any. Again, I know, throw Kelce Robinette in there as well, Kansas City star. You have three entities that do a great job covering the team. You know, in the written world, you have Mitch Fortner, who's talking about them every day on K-Man. You know, The Game, they put all their shows out on podcasts as well. So there are folks who are intimately covering this stuff every single day. So, you know, I'm sure all of them have stuff that I have no clue about. So make sure you're subscribing and checking out all their work to stay on top of who the targets are and how the team comes together. We'll obviously talk about them as it becomes public knowledge or as they commit. So hopefully it is another plus portal opening for K-State. I think for the most part, K-State has been the beneficiary and gotten better every single portal season, and I'm hoping that stays the case. What are we calling this? The spring portal for football. So buckle up because it's almost here. Okay, switching over to the hardwood side of things. Three major portal targets. We have K-State had two on campus this weekend. Hopefully, and I think one of them is super close, at least hopefully, to committing. I haven't been able to independently verify it, so I'm not going to say who it is, but make sure you're checking out, like I said, all those great sites that cover K-State athletics. Hopefully by the time you hear it, it's happened. But we'll start with the bad. Mikel Brown-Jones went to Ole Miss. He's one of those guys I was feeling really good about before the transfer or the contact period lifted, allowing visits to happen. He committed to Ole Miss. You know, that happens, especially in the transfer portal world, in the NIL world, where it does come down to really, you know, the tiebreaker is going to the money. So, again, I have no idea why he chose Ole Miss. I don't think any of us will ever get a 100% confident reasoning as to why. It sucks, but hey, it's time to move on. Like I said, they had two visits. They're one for one on one for one in visits that I've made and then been committed. Again, Reed from Michigan also visited. It sounds like things are cooling there. We'll see where he eventually ends up going. I don't think it's going to be K-State, but K-State closed on Doug, and that was an absolutely massive close. The one I'm most excited for, C.J. Jones. He was at University of Illinois Chicago, the UIC Flames. He's a 6'5 wing, scored 11.5 points a game, grabbed 3.5 rebounds, 4.8 assists. He was 42.5% from the field, just a lethal guy, especially attacking the rim. And I think when you look at his distribution, when you add that with Doug, when you add that with Day-Day Ames, if that is your backcourt, you're getting a long wing who can make plays. He can distribute. He knows where to find guys. He's not turning the ball over, and he's hitting his shots inside the arc. Not a great 3-point shooter, but he's giving that additional facilitator. And again, with Day-Day Ames coming into his own a little bit at the end of last season, you look at Doug McDaniel. You look at possibly C.J. Jones. You have three guys on the perimeter who are all capable of playmaking for someone else, as well as scoring 12 to 15 points a game. And again, if you're getting 45 to 50 points from your three starting guards a game, that's a lot. And that's probably putting it too high. But if you're getting 40 points from your three starting guards and they're all able to distribute to find whoever's playing the five, be able to find whoever's playing the stretch four, and make plays like that, your offense is going to be fixed. All the problems that we had last year are going to go out the window. Again, you need to close on these guys. Again, CJ, again, on campus, he was a high school teammate of Buddy Rich, both from East St. Louis. You know, he had, I think, his high school coach and some other folks in town, at least based on social media, Instagram stories that look like they're having a good time. I really hope they close him because, again, that's the type of player who does just about everything. Again, you're grabbing, you know, 3.5 boards, almost 5 assists. You're scoring almost 12 a game. And that's, you know, as a sophomore, you have 2 years to go. I think that this would be a big-time get, and then it allows this offense to flow a little bit better. There was so much made of the 5-out offense, and they moved beyond that. They were not doing that towards the end of the season. But for that to work, and if that's still the evolution that they want to make, you're going to need to have 3 guys on the court that you can trust with the ball in their hand, that they're going to be able to make the right pass. They're going to have to be able to play make for others. And this pickup would fit perfectly with the team that they are trying to assemble. So this is a big one I'm pumped about. Again, you're going head-to-head with the likes of Illinois, Creighton, a few other big teams, but those are the 2 big contenders you're trying to go head-to-head with on this for this guy. And grabbing him would be a massive pickup. That would be one very worthy of big-time celebrations. So that's something to keep an eye on. Hopefully they close. The other one that they're in on is Baba Miller. So he was at Florida State. He was on NBA mock drafts in the 2nd round, even as much as last week. So this is a guy who's 6'11". He plays on the outside, 29% from 3, 55% from 2, 5 rebounds a game, 1 block a game, 1 assist a game, 8 points a game. So again, he hasn't reached his final or full potential when it comes to him as a scorer. But this is a guy with all the talent in the world. Originally from Spain, like I said, he was playing at Florida State the last couple of years, so playing in the ACC. He's a guy who, again, if you want to harken back to what they envisioned with Naquan Tomlin, I think he's a similar type of guy. I think you would see lineups where he's playing the stretch 4. I think depending on the opponent, or who else is out there on the floor with him, you could see him playing the 5, again, being used in a similar manner as to what we saw from Naquan Tomlin back in the 22-23 season, and probably what they wanted him to be the following season. Again, this guy is only a sophomore. He's going to be a junior this next year. I think he has NBA potential. Again, he moves well. He's athletic. He has the length. I think his wingspan is 7'3", 7'4". So this guy is going to be able to play defense. And as long as he keeps his footwork on top of things, he's not fouling, he can be an absolute menace on defense as well. So again, if they're able to close on these 2 guys, you'd be sitting in a situation where you still have 2 open scholarships. It sounds like they are swimming with the sharks, swimming with the best of the best, with some of the centers that they're going after, some of the big men that they're going after that would help, finalize or round out a potential starting 5. And then you would still be left with 1 scholarship. I'm working under the assumption that Arthur Klum is not coming back. But if you're working under that assumption, you still have 1 or 2 scholarships, depending on other decisions, where you can try to find another wing, another guy who can hopefully shoot, maybe another ball handler, maybe a project big to sit behind whoever you get amongst the centers that we're targeting. So I think that if they can close on 1 or both of these guys, I think it will be time to start really getting excited for next basketball season. And the good part about it is if they close on these 2 guys, you're going to have 3 big-time impact transfer portal guys that you had to go out and beat other schools for, wrapped up before the end of April. So that means right when the semester's over at their current school, they're going to be able to be in Manhattan come May, come June, depending on their school. And then they can hit the ground running and hopefully get to the point where when basketball practice officially opens up in the fall, You know, they can do stuff on their own, working with strength and conditioning, all that type of stuff. Hopefully they can hit the ground running and there's not going to be a big ramp up period. Because again, if you look at the history of K-State in the portal era and the Jerome Tang era, Jerome Tang was adding starters in July. He's adding high impact guys. You know, Desi Sills, who I'm not going to talk about. I'm mad at Desi Sills right now. But he didn't show up until like September. So again, there's a long history of guys, of Jerome Tang, you know, waiting on guys, which is okay. But we talked about how that maybe came back to bite them a couple times. If they can close on these targets and not have to wait for that second wave, that would be absolutely massive. Now, if you don't close on these two guys, all of a sudden, they're going to have to work hard, and they're probably going to have to change their approach a little bit. But I'm feeling confident in both guys. I'm hoping one of them is in the bag by the time you're listening to this. We'll wait and see. Hopefully, it happens. But it is exciting times. It is, a testament to the fundraisers, to the folks donating to K-State NIL, Wildcat NIL, allowing Jerome Tang and the staff to put themselves in situations where they feel more confident going after some of these guys, that they can use Wildcat NIL and NIL as a whole as a positive recruiting pitch, not as something that they're trying to be good enough that it's, negligible, picking them or another school. They're trying to make it so it's an asset. And if that's the case, you got to feel good, or at least I feel good about them being able to close the deal on these two guys. So fingers crossed, because the team could, you know, those two guys plus Doug, plus another year of Day-Day Ames. Again, the assumption David Gasson's back. I guess technically we haven't had like official word from K-State. We have one Instagram video and some rumors surrounding David Gasson coming back. But, you know, hopefully that's the case. David Castillo, who again was part of the Team USA NBA and Team USA Hoops Summit with U18 guys. So again, he's seen as one of the, you know, top 25 American high school players in the country, you know, going up against the world, you know, top 25. So again, you have him coming in as well, another year in the program for Buddy Rich, another year in the program for RJ Jones. You're hoping those guys take a step. And again, I think this team, you put a gun to my head right now, I think this team's setting up for a 5 or 6 seed next year and you know, being, you know, around 4th or 5th place in the Big 12 next year, and what's going to be an incredibly tough Big 12. And again, we still have to wait to see the schedule, but I do think with these visits that we're getting, you close on them, folks, I think we're setting ourselves up for a very exciting season. We're going to end talking about why the women's basketball season is going to be very exciting. But before we do, again, one final shout out to our sponsors, Manhattan Brewing Company. Again, go back to the 1012 Network YouTube page. See the beers and wings that we are pairing together. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be delicious. Can't wait to crack open a few beers with my buddies from Manhattan Brewing Company and my friend Philip Slavin from the 1012 Network. There is a beer for every occasion. There's a beer for every wing flavor. Check out Manhattan Brewing Company. Make sure you're always following them on social media as well, because it doesn't matter if you're living in the happiest place in the world, Manhattan, Kansas, or you're coming through on a visit. They always have fun events, fun cocktails, and the best beer in the state of Kansas happening at their tap room. All right, we're going to wrap up with Aoka Lee coming back. What a press conference. She brings her dog named Bram, her puppy, to the press conference. You could tell that Jeff Mitty was excited. You could tell Aoka Lee was excited to be coming back. And here's the thing about Aoka Lee. She even talks about it. And I don't know if I've ever heard another student athlete talk about things quite like she does, because she's openly saying like, yeah, you know, I wasn't going to be going to the WNBA. I'm thinking about my career after basketball. She said that she was talking to some of her mentors in her professional field saying, hey, can I do this? She even talked about how like, yeah, you know, while she's not going to be rehabbing from anything in the summer, she's still going to be working on stuff with her career. She's getting her master's degree in May. She said that, no, she's not going to go for her doctorate. She's not going to start her doctorate path. She's just going to take some fun classes, you know, for her final year. But it's exciting, and she's such a unique athlete, and she's such a great role model because, again, she whether she tries to play WNBA, whether she plays overseas, regardless of next season with college basketball, if that's her final year playing the game of basketball competitively. She is a great role model for the work she puts in on and off the court. She's, you know, a Big 12 honor roll member, and I'm pumped that she's coming back. And look, are they going to be able to go after the Big 12 championship next season? I don't know. Iowa State, I mean, almost all their contributors are freshmen, so they're going to be tough. I think BYU is going to improve. You're seeing Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado coming into the conference. Who am I missing? Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. So you have those four schools coming in. So it's going to be tough. Is KU going to have another good year? It's going to be tough. West Virginia, you know, they were a tournament team. I don't know if Quinterly's coming back or not, so that's my fault. But it's going to be tough. But I think Ayoka Lee is driven by trying to win a Big 12. I think she's driven in trying to get another, you know, round of home basketball games in Bramlage. I don't think she's driven by being number one in all these different stats. But I think after this year, back assuming she's able to be relatively healthy, I think she's going to pass the career scoring record, and I think she has a connection to the Glenn twins and Serena Sundell, who are still with the program. Jeff Mitty said, hey, we're an attractive place. We'd love to still bring in impact transfers, so we'll see if they grab anyone else in the portal. They grabbed a young woman who's from Shawnee, Kansas, who's at Missouri State. They brought her in. Jeff Mitty also talking about how, hey, you know, in the non-conference, it's not about stat accumulation. It's, you know, we might have to do a little bit of load management. Ayoka Lee, you know, kind of squirmed at that, and they recounted some of their arguments from this past season about trying to hold her out. But you got to be responsible with it. I don't think Ayoka Lee is coming back to be an All-American. I don't think she's coming back to be All-Big 12. I don't think she's coming back to try to break records. I think she's coming back to try to win the Big 12. So if that means she's playing 18 to 20 minutes versus the Rummies in the non-conference when you're playing directional, you know, Alabama, yeah, she doesn't need to play 30 points and score 40. You know, she doesn't need to do that. So I trust Jeff Mitty to try to keep her healthy through the non-con and go after that Big 12 championship, because I'm going to have my eyes zeroed in on it. I think that they all have a sour taste in their mouth about some of those losses in Big 12 play. I think they have a real sour taste in their mouth losing to Colorado in the round of 32. Because I think they saw what Iowa was able to do, and I think that they rightfully so thought that they could beat Iowa if given a third chance. So I think they're going to come back more motivated than ever, and I'm looking forward to that women's basketball season. That's all we have. At some point, we will have a trivia episode soon. So if you're listening all the way to this point, I think we're going to be looking for different trivia players. Dan Merker, absolute dog when it comes to K-State trivia. He will be playing at least the first round that we do. I did not come up with the trivia board. Friend of the show, Steve Z on Twitter, one of the best question asker, and he's hosted a game of trivia before. I think he might have hosted the last one. But he put the game together, so I will be participating. He wants four participants, so we're looking for two. So if you have listened this long and you're interested in participating, shoot me, Scott Wildcat, or Bosco's Boys a DM saying that you might be interested in participating in trivia this offseason. And I'll let you know. We'll find some competitors. So that should be coming up here in the next couple weeks. And then obviously as news breaks, we'll be talking about it. So probably nothing midweek this week, but I will be talking to you guys next Monday, and we might have two shows next week, so stay tuned on that. So for Chauncey, the best dog in the world, my name is Scott. We love you guys, and go Cats.
Hail to the purple, hail to the white, wildcat in spirit, wildcat in fight. Hail alma mater from sea to sea, onward forever, hail victory. Fight, UK State Wildcats for alma mater fight. Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be a fighting, ever fighting for a wildcat victory.
Fight, 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 fight.
UK State Wildcats for alma mater. Fight, 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 fight. Glory in the combat for the purple and the white. Faithful to our colors, we will ever be fighting, ever fighting for a wildcat victory. Go State!
One, two,
ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Network.